You've tuned in to Misbehaving, a podcast where we get up close and personal with today's most imaginative authors. Every episode, we'll be sitting down with a new writer to discuss their magical worlds, futuristic visions, and how they bring their wildest ideas to the page. Navigating through the wild ether with me today is the fantastic Jen Nixon. Jen, how has the week treated you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was nice here. I know you get real weather, but we had... We had 70s and 80s this last week. So, yeah, it
awesome.
Was really nice. Yeah.
I had snow and rain.
Snow and rain. I know of them, but.
I know. It's so hard to get it over there. I'll try to send it your way.
We do have a rainy season. It is coming up, and it is my favorite season because I'm not from here. I'm not from the Southern California. I'm from Utah, where we get weather. But so when we do get our rainy season, that is my favorite time of the year.
So. Awesome, I bet. Yeah. So who do we have on the podcast this week?
Jen, I'm so glad you asked. I'm very excited to introduce David J. Fairhead. David first published the demonic apocalyptic tale, The Fall, in the Big Book of Bizarro. His other works include the short story Demon Eye in Westward Hose, which was also adapted into a comic book, the short story The Commune in Rise of the Dead, and the novels The Fall of Tomorrow, and Charlie, A Child's Tale of Terror. In addition to the anthology, Dwelling in the Dark, David is the writer of the comic book series WZWA, World Zombie Wrestling Association, working with Dr. John Towers and Stigmata Studios. He also currently hosts the podcast Kettle Whistle Radio with co-host Heather Taddy and co-founded the podcast Society 13 Network. Jen, David J. Fairhead.
Welcome, hey. David.
Wow, that was more than I remembered.
It's always interesting to hear our own bios back. You know, it's you know, yes. Sometimes we're not as aware of all the things that we've accomplished.
Yes. Well, no, I should write them down more often. But yeah, doing the podcast has been like, well, it's 15 years. So it's like kind of when I go back and look, I could see my entire life for the past 15 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been interesting. A lot of bands, a lot of interesting folks, writers and folks like you.
What sticks out to you the most doing that podcast? I know we're going to talk about your writing, but I'm just curious.
No, it's a big part because it's some things you fall into and didn't plan on it. We did that just as a thing like 15 years ago, Dr. John Towers, and we started this little talking to yourself in the dark for 8 minutes and then putting up, see who listens. And it stuck and it was weird. And it was a way to promote like this little comic book thing we did, WZWA. And it just, yeah, self-promoting, but it became something else. Interviewing bands, meeting. I was in a few low-budget flicks, so I met a lot of actors, actresses, directors, and things just snowballed. Mm-hmm. When you interview one band, you find out who they're listening to, and that just kind of takes effect right there. And you know, and you get in these little niches, and sometimes have recurring guests that you enjoy so much, you follow their careers. You know,
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, and I dove into it. Really kind of, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, but it might be when you're younger, the best way to do it is at conventions themselves. I would just have this little snowball mic on my desk and just interview people when they came to me or I'd go to them. And, you know,
that's
then
cool.
It is, but 8 hours to edit later.
editing is the worst. I don't think it doesn't matter what the medium is. It's editing a book, editing clips. It's the worst part. It's the worst part. So time consuming.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I met, that's actually how I met. I met Heather that way. Initially, we met at a show when I was already doing a podcast. She was like next to me and one thing led to another, but she's off doing her thing. Sean Felbush is my current co-host right now. But it's always a revolving door whenever sometimes it's whoever shows up.
That's right.
That's how I got Jen. Jen,
that's true.
Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't start
yes,
this podcast.
I was a guest, and now I'm here helping.
That happens. That definitely happens.
Oh, yeah, my partner went into a master's program for writing, of course, and she was just like, I just don't have the time. I'm like, I understand. So she's like, if you can find somebody else, go do it. I'm like, great, because I love talking with people. So. That's awesome.
But you really shoot yourself in the foot. Like if you're at a show and you start lining up guests and you're surrounded by potential guests, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's a feeding frenzy. And But and you try to get as much as you can done, hope everything sounds good in this open, you know, convention atmosphere, cutting out the white noise. And but that was a crash course, but it was fun and it got me started. Then I realized, like you guys, there's an easier way to go about this. You know, so yeah, so I have my studio in my house, and yeah, it's been a fun ride. The writing thing, I'll say The Fall of Tomorrow is the first book finished. It's not the first book I wrote, but it's the first book completed. And it is about a demon apocalypse. And that was my first publication. The first chapter was a short story. And the publisher said to me, hey, do you think you could develop that? And I did. And boom, that's what happened.
Nice. So you used that inspiration. Did you find it hard to take that short story and actually, you know, find a whole novel in it?
Yeah, the funny thing is, so many people, I've been asked that, and it, and every time I amaze myself by saying it was the easiest thing, only because I was so hungry to do it. I got published like in my late 30s, early 40s. Ideally, I wanted to do it when I was 8 years old.
Right.
So like, yeah,
right.
Yeah, late bloomer. But
we all did. We all wanted to be published when we were eight.
It just became more possible. And, you know, and one thing led to another, and the story became that. And then the second book, Dwelling in the Dark, is a bunch of short stories that coincide with it, but it's a companion. If you're familiar with D&D stuff, you don't really have to read them together. They could be separate. If you like a short story, Dwelling in the Dark. If you like a novel, Fall of Tomorrow. But it is rewarding to the reader. I grew up with Stephen King, and just basically whatever, you know, his own universe. I was always envious of his universe he created. I've been doing that since I was a little kid playing with action figures, you know, just like, this is my universe and I'm going to rewrite everything, you know? So everything kind of coincides. And if you find that little character that you know, in a corner of one little short story that was a major character in my novel, I enjoy that. And I hope the reader does too.
That's great.
I like how you framed that this is the first book that you published, but not the first book that you had finished, because I think that's true of a lot of authors. At least it was for me. Like, the first book that I finished writing should never see the light of day. So I don't know if that's the same with you. Like, you're like, yeah, I wrote this book, but don't look at it.
I was shaking my head yes before you asked me. I knew what you were going to say. Yeah, going back is rough. Ooh, literally. The term rough indeed. And people, and you guys may make fun of me too, but people make fun of George Lucas. It's never done. It's always a work in progress. Some things you should leave alone. He didn't learn that entirely. And then other things, then there's room to branch out in other ways. But you know, is an idea ever dead? No. So, but sometimes, you know, you can go back and develop an idea, but going back and reading those things, boy, it can be rough.
What was shocking to you when you went back to read? Like, what did you love and what was shocking?
I kind of stuck to the same, we'll say, ideas and theme and skeleton, and I had to add to it. I didn't like, wow, well, these two characters sound exactly alike when they talk or look too much alike, or wow, I wanted to tell the story so quickly that I go all action all the way through. And I'm talking like when I was a kid, and no filler really. And I'd have to go back and fill it back up. I was never really disappointed with my ideas, but I'll tell you how I got started, was being disappointed. I grew up, you know, of course, there's levels of horror and movies and sci-fi, but when I was a kid watching black and white movies, and, you know, The Creature from the Black Lagoon was my favorite, but going further back, like It Came from Outer Space and things like that, I was always rewriting the endings if I didn't like them. And that even includes like H.G. Wells, like, you know, Empire of the Ants and Food of the Gods. These movies were not great movies, but to me, they were. That could have been better. So I started writing as a kid, rewriting the endings to these things, how they could have been better, which is, you know, I don't know. That's kind of bold, I guess, but it got me writing at an early age. And then when I started developing my own ideas, I realized how hard it was, you know, to pursue that.
Yeah, it's easy to piggyback off somebody else, but like come up with your own. You're like, oh, yes. Oh, okay, I get it.
Just a little bit. You know, that you know what's funny about that too? One of the first horror novels I ever read was Alan Dean Foster's version, vision of John Carpenter's The Thing. Something you buy in a pharmacy back home in New York, you just picked up as a paperback. And I read this thing and they're dropping the F-bomb and I'm like nine. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You can do this. You know, it changed everything for me, because before that I was just reading, you know, Edgar Allan Poe and stuff like that. That was deep, but they weren't mm-hmm. using the contemporary language. And mm-hmm. like, wow, this is cool. But meanwhile, that wasn't really a novel, because the movie, then I saw the movie too. I'm like, okay, just kind of, this was a shake and bake book for the mall, you know? But yeah, so I don't know. I had very strange beginnings, but a lot of good origins, watching and reading other people's stuff mm-hmm. and then realizing right. my own. mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you? Like, where did you decide that you could do this, or you wanted to?
Jen, you go first.
My story is weird because it goes all the way back to reading Rainbow.
Nice.
Oh, no, I know a lot of folks like that.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So obviously I watched it as a kid. And then when I was in high school, my 10th grade teacher had us watch Roots. And I'm like, that's the dude from Reading Rainbow.
There you go.
LeVar Burton. Yeah. So I was like, I wonder if that show's still on. So I happened to watch it, and it happened to be the episode with Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember this show when I was a kid, kind of, but I never watched it. And then I'm like, oh, look, that's Will Wheaton. Mm. I'm like, I know him from Stand By Me. So all that spiraled into my love of Star Trek, and then my love of Star Trek turned into a novel of Tiva Boone, which is a character I made to play a Star Trek role-playing game, and that's how I got started in writing. It's such nice. A weird story. I know. No,
that's very cool. Any story that starts with Star Trek is just gold. That's gold.
That's true too.
Yeah. Don't think just because I like Star Wars, I did grow up with Star Trek too. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I was in love with Han all my life, so yeah. There's that.
Who wasn't?
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Oh, I'm enjoying the new Star Treks too.
Oh my gosh,
they're killing it.
Pike is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
So great. Like every episode just feels like gold to me. I'm just like, oh, slow down. It's going too fast.
Yeah. And what's the doctor's name? All white.
Mbinga.
Yeah.
He was actually on TOS as well. There was a Mbinga on TOS. So
the Australian. I meant the blonde.
Nurse Chapel.
Chapel.
Young Chapel.
Yes, Young Chapel. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I love it. They stay like clearly they've done a lot of building of characters, but they stay very true to the original spirit of the story from TOS, which has been amazing. So
yes, totally enjoy it, and I didn't think I was going to, but they pulled me back in.
Yeah, every time.
Almost. Yeah. No, I did miss one. I missed one series. I missed Enterprise.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. I don't know
that you missed it.
It lost me season three or season four. And then I end up watching the last couple episodes just so I can finish the story. But it kind of lost me somewhere.
Okay. I wanted to bounce that off of YouTube to see if it was worth it.
You know,
definitely worth it.
Yeah. Like it's worth it just because they have some good stories in there.
In the beginning.
Yeah,
especially when Dean Stockwell shows up. That's so nice to see the two of them together, because I'm a Quantum Leap fan too, but that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, in retrospect, I enjoyed Enterprise a lot more than I did at the time. Like I was really excited when they were coming out with it, and then they came out with it, and I was like, oh, this is not so, because it was that same thing. They didn't stay true to the spirit of the original series. And so I felt that they were really kind of violating that, you know, that agreement between fans and writers, like, yeah, go do your thing. But at the same time, you can't make certain borders be really close. Like it's not working for me. So they broke a lot of disbelief for me. So, yeah, but it's worth watching. Like it ends up really well. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I could kind of do another season of this. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll go back.
Yeah, give it a shot. Like, you don't miss anything by not watching it. So that's kind of nice. But there are a couple of in jokes, like Lower Decks pulls them all the time. Like, they're always deep diving on the jokes.
I'm so glad I gave Lower Decks a second shot, because I didn't I didn't like it in the beginning because I was like, they're not acting like Starfleet officers. This is annoying the crap out of me. Well, and I'm But then I was like, okay, let me try another. And maybe I was just in a bad mood. And
I
then I'm
gotta
like,
try it. I'll
okay,
have to
yeah.
try it because I've heard mixed reviews on that one.
Oh, Lower
On
Decks
Lower
is,
Decks? Oh, you have to.
Lower Decks is delicious. That
It's
is,
great.
yeah. I
It's so
just,
good.
they
It's
just
so
spoon
good.
feed me every time. I'm like, oh my God, they did the thing every time.
It's so good.
Yeah, we're gonna
I will
nerd
do
out
that.
on Trek. This will be a whole Trek
Yeah,
episode.
I know,
And
right? Well, wait, I'm
Star
watching.
Trek, Star Trek Prodigy is good too. If you haven't watched it, it's adorable. I love it.
Prodigy is miss, in my opinion, Prodigy is mismarketed. It's on Nickelodeon, and so it feels like it's supposed to be a kid show, but it is not really meant to be a kid show. Like, they do a lot of cool things on
And it's
Prodigy.
gorgeous.
Oh,
Oh, the
it's beautiful.
animation is beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Okay. Something else I gotta give a shot. I like anime too, but not all anime. Very
No.
specific anime.
Yes.
I'm watching currently the Doctor Who, was it, three-part special from
We are such
the...
nerds. Yeah.
I've already watched this third episode three
Don't tell,
times.
don't tell,
Amazing.
don't tell.
Don't say,
Oh,
yeah,
I
I'm
must say
only
nothing.
only on the first one. So, and so far I like it. I mean, we're all about David Tennant. So,
You know, my wife stumbled into it this weekend, and so I caught it like in the middle and sat down with her and watched it. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry at this. This is amazing. And I'm not a Donna Noble fan at all. Like, she's not even in my top 100 companions at
Oh
all.
yeah, Rose is our favorite here in this house.
Rose and
Rose,
Martha Jones was always my favorite. I think they really
yeah.
missed the boat with Martha Jones, but
I like that one too. There was a lot of good ones. But yeah, Rose is the one that sticks out. And I'm sitting here staring Amy Pond on my wall
Yes,
as I
Amy
speak. Amy
Pond.
was great.
She's fantastic. That was a great,
I'm
her
gonna
and
be the PC girl because I love
oh, here
all
we
the
go.
companions. I love all the companions. I love all the doctors. I don't love all the stories of all the doctors, but I think so far every doctor has nailed the doctor. And I went all the way back to Tom Baker.
Yeah,
I
that's a
can't
goal.
go before him because it's
No,
just too hard to watch.
I
Unless
started rewatching Hartwell from the very start, and I still like him. Like, he's like, it was so rough in the beginning. Like, they had no real sense of who the doctor was, but he's the doctor's there. I feel like the doctor's still there at the very beginning.
Interesting, because yeah, Tom Baker's what I grew up with. Sarah Jane, of course. I mean, totally in love with her. Yeah, Tom Baker, I was real young, and growing up in New York, it was sporadic when they would show it. It was not all the time.
That's
We got
right.
on WOR was the channel, I think, from Jersey, and you'd get it occasionally on Sunday mornings and sometimes really late on a Saturday night.
Really late, like if you were up late and you're switching between whatever the four channels we had, and you're like, whoa, what's this going on here? Or
it
Blake
was
Seven would be on.
channel, it was the PBS station that it was on.
What is this weird BBC sci-fi show? This is
That's
weird.
why I learned Mr. Bean and Are You Being Served?
Oh my
Yes.
God, that
That's
came later.
where my
All
start
of
of the
them.
love of English came from.
All of it. Yeah.
Wait, what about the Young Ones? You ever watch the Young Ones?
No, that one I don't know.
Oh, go back and watch the Young Ones. It's
Okay,
only
I'm writing
12
that down.
episodes. And the comic strip Live is also done by the same troupe. Yeah, I highly recommend the Young Ones. Go back and watch that. But just about four semi-college students living together. You got a punk guy, politically correct guy, smart guy, and a hippie, and they all hate each other. And usually the episodes result in death, like sort of like how Kenny in South Park, you know, like it. Yeah, it's very funny. Check it out if you can. Yeah, that's
Nice.
another English dive.
Do they do any zombies? I gotta know if they do zombies.
That one is more like they get more into music. Like, they have like
Oh,
Motorhead just shows up and plays in the
all
bathroom or in one of the bedrooms at one point.
right. That's
Yeah, it's
awesome.
just very English 80s. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
No rules. No rules.
Oh, they really didn't have any in that show. No.
Awesome. This episode of Mythbehaving is brought to you by the Bath Bomb Diva, producing fine handcrafted bath bombs and shower steamers, scents ranging from fruits to florals to musks and more. In observation of Mariah Carey's annual teeth-gnashing, mouth-foaming rampage through modern civilization, the Diva offers up new holiday goodness with fizzy, fragrant bath salts and bubble bath bomb hot tubs. These great stocking stuffers made with wonderful scents such as warm vanilla sugar, sugar cookie, and comfort and joy. What does comfort and joy smell like? Beats me. But they all include small toy surprises like bendable figures, flashing LED light cubes, and cool toy erasers that are sure to delight. Four out of five people randomly surveyed at my house show that even the most stubborn anti-bather will absolutely look forward to jumping into a tub made wondrous and magical by the Bath Bomb Diva. Thanks, as always, to Bath Bomb Diva for being a valued sponsor to the show. Well, let's pull it back to your writing, though, David.
Okay. Yeah, I could talk forever about everything.
Right, right. It sounds like the three of us should just start a, you know, sci-fi podcast.
Sci-fi podcast. Yep. Oh, well, totally. Right up my alley.
I'll have you on. You know, don't worry. I'll figure it out. you know what? I believe I should say this now. I believe in the cross contamination of listeners, because people that like us and will like you, and vice versa. I'll have you guys on, and we'll pick out an episode. But something that your listeners would like, and a guest I would like to get for you if you didn't get them already. There's a movie coming out, Mickey 17, about the book Mickey 7 by Ed Ashton. Robert Pattinson is in it. It's coming out in March.
Cool. And
it's about a clone that he's paid to die and upload his death so they can learn from his death. And they go into this intergalactic expedition and end up on a planet, and he's paid to die, and this planet is very easy to die on. Extra interesting book, but I wanted to put that out there. Yeah, just for your listeners. Yeah.
You know, honestly, you had me at Robert Pattinson. Like,
okay.
I know.
You
I'm
had
gonna
me
get
a clone.
You had me a clone. Clone did it too, but Robert Pattinson, he gets a lot of flack for Twilight, but like, he is a hell of an actor. Like, he's
check out the trailer. It's only a couple of seconds, but yeah, you look up Mickey 17. It's by Brad Pitt's production company, Plan B Productions. Yes, I thought your listeners might like that. Yeah,
you are correct. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's right up your alley.
Definitely.
The book is excellent. The sequel's already out. So I have to buy it. But yes, on Spotify, you can find our podcast. If you're up there, you can listen to the episode on there too. If you want to hear Ed Ashton, and if you want, I'll try to get him to get on for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Kettle Whistle. I listened to it. I think Jen, you listened to some too, right? Because we were chatting about it.
I listen to our podcast. I realize that I don't like listening to people I don't know if I don't know what they look like. I listen to the late night talk show hosts, and because I know what they look like, I'm like, okay, maybe I can do this. So I'm actually starting to look for more podcasts to listen to now that I'm okay with it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, are you looking for writing podcasts? Or just okay.
Any kind, really. Yeah. Okay. I'm looking for any kind.
Bring it to my attention.
YouTube. We did some. I think it's only like three episodes of that, if there is any. We've done some things with camera work ourselves, but I don't know. This podcast to me was just always audio, and people do ask me, they're like, "Do we do video?" I'm like, "Well, we could."
Yeah.
Right, but now I know what you look like, so now it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Because I have your picture. That's Jen's barrier to entry.
That was my weird thing, I guess. Because I'm so used to watching, interviews on YouTube that if I don't know what you look like, I don't know who you are. I need a little bit of personality to go.
I know what
voice.
You mean. I listen to two radio shows. I listen to Conan, hit Coco Radio in my car, and I listen to Bennington on Sirius XM, the Bennington show. Ron Bennington is a comedian. But he's been doing radio for like 30 years plus, 40. Yeah. Great radio show. Just, entertainment, basic pop stuff, but very informative stuff and educational and funny. So, that's how you get me.
Yeah.
But I do know what they look like. You're right about
that. And I would knew all the radio people that I would, because they would always have commercials on their TV, so I didn't know what they look like. Even though they're on the radio.
There you go.
No, I don't have this. I don't have this issue. Like, I don't mind at all not knowing what people look like. Like, that doesn't bug me.
Maybe I'm just
am I broken?
I'm nosy.
No, it's not, sounds like I'm you nosy. Two are not, and like I'm the odd man out here. Like, you are nosy, Jen.
Yes, I am. So bad, but it makes me a good writer because I'm observant and I like to listen more than I like to talk. Yeah. And I like to talk, so it means I even like to listen even more.
Yeah. Well, that works. 100%.
And what about you? What are some things that help you to be a better writer?
Ooh, okay, let's see. It is one of my favorite questions, but really music helps. That's kind of why the podcast, we do is music and write and horror. But yeah, I like to, it depends. I listen to like deep, heavy goth, like Godflesh, things like ambient stuff. If I'm in a dark writing mood or whatever, it just gets me there. But I'm usually already there. That music just kind of helps the rhythm go. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rhythm, there's a rhythm to it. And and sometimes it's better than coffee. I have to have my coffee first and a lot of caffeine, maybe two plus cups, and I'm ready to roll. But music will help me at least get the heartbeat going, heart rate up. And because I like to write things that are you could almost, well, they're like in motion. Like good music, you know, it takes you on a good ride. You know, I want the written word to do that to you too. So music does help. So I like progressive stuff, like heavy punk, industrial, you know, just basic rock sometimes. Then nice. I go nostalgic too. I'll go back and listen to Stevie Nicks, you know, if I want like a time period, you know, '80s nostalgic music is great for that. '70s, I think, is the best to write to, if you're going from mood and room, mood and emotion.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah.
I hadn't thought about that, but I see where you're coming from on that.
It's not needed. It enhances the journey.
Right.
'70s is like the best singer songwriter ever, too. So there's
that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like even 60s, if it's cheesy,
early '70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love some good cheese.
Yeah. Yacht Rock Radio. We did an episode on that. You listen to Yacht Rock?
Yacht Rock. That's like Air Supply.
Yeah, but worse.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
Yeah, that's like, hey, I love those songs. Oh my
God.
Me too.
I'm a pushover.
Seals and Cross, baby. Seals and Cross. Steely Dan, though. Steely Dan. That's some dark stuff, man.
Yeah,
Steely
that's true. Dan. Some of those I didn't realize until I was much older. Like, these are really dark. Like, it's really upbeat song, but then you break down the lyrics, you're like, oh my gosh, this is nobody's happy here.
Yes, you are correct. A lot of them. Yeah. That's funny. Steely Dan, though. Oh yeah. Very close to the mark there. They're all dark characters. They do a tour. They did an art tour. The songs and the characters that they're about. Yeah. I heard that actually on the radio. Anyway, but that's that.
Yeah, you start getting into that.
So music is a big one.
what else do you do? Do you write every day, David?
No, I will honestly answer no. Day job, you know, I work in a warehouse slash desk job, and I have all these side hustles that I was doing, but I don't write it. I write best in the morning or late at night. It during the day when I'm working anyway, I wouldn't probably be writing. So really it is, it's how it hits me. Sometimes like I'll come home and it'll be a song on the radio and it'll wake me up, as opposed to, oh, I need to go home and take a nap. Mm-hmm. No. And then I'll go home and make a pot of coffee and take it from there. But no, I do not write every day. It's usually an idea and that piece of paper turns into a few pages, you know? And sometimes, but you know what? Then it's like a binge. Like binge drinking, it's binge writing. You get that idea. I have to finish the idea.
I find myself doing that a lot too. Procrastinating, and then all of a sudden, boom, 14,000 words in a weekend.
There you go. Boom. Yeah, I relate to that. Yes. And then you're exhausted and irritable to be around. Yes.
Exactly.
Nice.
I love it. Hey, but if the process
works. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if the process works, the process works.
Right. No, that's exactly it. So Jen and I kind of hit on this with an interview like a week or two ago, where you have a blank headspace that where you solve problems. Mine happens to be in the shower. Like when I'm in the shower, I can solve plot problems or dialogue problems. And Jen, I forget where yours was.
Walking outside.
Yeah. Do you have one of those?
Yeah, that's one of them. Driving.
Driving.
That's my number two. Yeah.
I have family out on the east. I'm from New York originally. So it's like I have a lot of driving. I drive a lot to see family. Mm-hmm. And we're 500 miles a pop, sometimes more, sometimes less. But, you know, once that caffeine gets in my veins and the good song comes on the radio and I'm doing more than 80, boom, the ideas are flying by. And then I wish I had a pen and paper, you know, and I don't. And I'm like, oh boy, I got to dictate this. That's when the ideas hit me right then and there. I don't know what that's about, but it does. Only when I can't write it down.
Right.
Right.
So you have to have your phone with you and you can just hit record.
Yes. Right in front of me. Yes. You're right.
I used to send myself texts. I would text myself.
Yes. Yes.
I would be at my kids' like karate practice or something. I'm like, oh my God, this is a great line. Shoot it off. Because otherwise I lose it. I'll lose it. So
yeah, you know, that is a big one. I've actually pulled off onto a truck stop and dug out into my glove compartment, to find freaking a little pad piece of paper, and a crayon, and then I can't read it the next time I look
right.
at it.
Right. Oh, God. Downside.
King of post-its. I'm staring at three post-its on my computer that I can't read anymore.
I've messaged myself on my phone and then listened to the next time and was like,
no.
What?
Yep.
What?
You were clearly insane that time.
Yeah, I was definitely insane. It's like, my friend went to jumper and then she jumped. Yeah. What?
That's awesome.
I love it. Hey, if I laugh too hard, I'm going to choke.
Yeah, don't do that. We want.
No, it's all right. I'm just, again, the tail end of this annoying cult. Oh, there it is going around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get it out of my system before Christmas. So I'll live.
So far on this podcast, we have not killed anyone, and we want to maintain that,
that
record.
Good.
So, unlike other podcasts, zero deaths on this podcast.
Good to hear. I would have to actually go back and look. So, question for other folks. Yeah, I'm not going to disclose that here.
Right. Like that's later. That's a tally for later. Yeah.
I did come off of a decent weekend though. I did a Krampus Fest.
Oh, nice.
As in the Krampus of Christmas, Monroeville Mall in Pittsburgh. That's the iconic mall where they shot Dawn of the Dead.
Nice.
Yeah. We're talking Romero days. And
the old. I was going to ask which one. Okay.
Yeah, the original Dawn.
The original.
Night of the Living Dead. I work with some of the guys, John Russo, who co-wrote Night of the Living Dead, and is in it with Romero. He's a friend of mine, and he's also published on the same label here. I'll just plug it now because your listeners might be interested in John Russo's stuff that he's still writing.
Oh, you bet.
But yeah, Burning Bulb Publishing, three words, burningbulbpublishing.com. That's where you can find me, but John Russo's there too. And we've gone on tours together. Like I'll go under the Burning Bulb and I'll go with John. And it's cool because I meet so many people because of him, and he was nice enough to bring me in and let me be that one. You plugged it earlier. One of the books, his anthologies, he wanted to write everybody to write the origin to the Night of the Living Dead, how it started.
Oh, nice.
And it was really cool. That's where I wrote that story, The Commune, which you find in Dwelling in the Dark now, under my name. But yeah, so yeah, the John Russo is a good, nice little addition to Burning Bowl Publishing, if not like our anchor. And he's still writing. He made a movie recently called Crackoon, as opposed to Cocaine Bear.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You can get it at Burning Bulb Publishing, folks. Yeah, it's there.
Fantastic.
Burning Bulb Publishing. Yeah, we'll put that up on the podcast as well. But Burning Bulb Publishing, that's awesome.
I had some I got to be in a couple of low budget films because of that. And I got familiar with the Living Dead weekend, which also takes place in Evan City, is put together by Kevin Christ, who owns the Living Dead Museum that is now within the Monroeville Mall for people that come to Pittsburgh.
Very nice. Cool.
All the stuff from the movies that they have left, all the props and stuff is there. It's a cool deal. Yeah. But I did for you writers, you guys, I did sell some books, which was nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Always nice.
Yeah.
Always nice.
People, is that an annual? Is that an annual thing?
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, they do that one in Evans City. I don't know if they're going to do it again. That was annual. That was like one of my favorites. But yeah, kind of like going home when you do that convention.
Cool. Well, sadly, David, because obviously the three of us could just chat and chat. Sadly, we have come to the end of our time. But I will ask one more question.
Sure.
And I want to know where you're going from here. I want to know what is your next big project and what do you want people to look for?
Well, this is a huge comeback for me because it's been a while and I was out of it and I had to go through some health issues and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I have a new book coming out, in the beginning of the year. I want to say it could have been this month, but some things happen. Things always happen in editing. But yes, but Dead Memories is the book. And this is a collection of the 13 stories that do go together. It's put together by an occultist who collects stories from not necessarily dead people, but people in their dying moments or pieces of artifacts and photos of these moments. And he tells their story either through their own words, if they're not around anymore and gave them the story, or through supernatural means. But there's 13 stories revolving. You don't sometimes you don't always know who's telling the story, because there could be possibly three to four storytellers. At the end, you find out the truth behind it and what you're reading. Most four of the stories are based on true things, true happenings. Ooh. I'll tell you that here.
Oh no.
Yeah, but based. One of them is based, very based. True. One of them is very true, and you'll know when you're reading it that it is. But yeah, so that's Dead Memories. That comes out from Burning Bow Publishing next month. But right now, I'm still, peddling Dwelling in the Dark, the short stories, 11 short stories that do go together, but you can read them separately. All different monsters and killers, and very H.P. Lovecraftian monsters. Wow. I grew up with him and his monsters. Mm-hmm. I've been taking a hit lately for other things, but I was too young to realize what all that was about. I just like monsters.
Yeah.
The Fall of Tomorrow. That was my first novel, hence the Lovecraftian monsters too. That's a demon apocalypse. And I'll just say this too. There are zombies in it, but I brought them down. Because John Russo being, he'd be right next to me at the table sometimes. And I turned to him, and I always say this one, like, John, don't worry, my zombies are nothing like your zombies. And he thought it was funny because mine basically just melt. They try to come after you, but realistically they can't.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. With a demon inside them, it just can't withhold the body. So anyway. But that's just one chapter, because plenty of different monsters to choose from. And I will not, believe me, it's not a boring read.
Awesome. Jen, I think he left it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. David just left us with this like delicious taste in our mouth. And it was like, it was the first hit, right? No, I want more now.
I didn't tell you where to get them all. There's a couple places. I'll just tease you and then leave.
Yep.
But no, celebrationofspirits.com is for all artists. And that we'll actually post other people's stuff there too. Put together by the artist for the ongoing comic book series that I also have going right now. I write, this guy, Robert Hoagland, does the artwork for Dr. Peeler, Demon Psychiatrist. Issue 2 is just about finished. It's an ongoing series, also at burningbulb.com/comics.com. You can get that. But issue 2 is going to be great. It's going to be about a kaiju demon, if you're familiar with kaiju. I we could talk forever, because I did see the new Godzilla movie too.
Don't tell me that.
Nope, haven't seen it yet.
I loved it. I loved
good.
It.
Good. Yes. It looks wonderful.
It looks delicious.
So, yeah, delicious.
I talk too much. I'm sorry. But celebrationofspirits.com. And my website is fairlydarkproductions.com for my books. Just you can get two of my books on there if you don't want to go to Burning Bulb. And but there you see what is a cornucopia of our authors to choose from, and nasty, nasty horror stories to choose from. So always check out Burning Bulb.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. Yeah, but this was really fun, guys. I'm on Facebook, and Kettle Whistle Radio on Facebook and Spotify.
And we'll put all the links up there for you. So yeah, absolutely.
You can tell I do a show. I'm trying to get everything in.
quick, get it all in.
Yeah. Comes across as needy,
Don't worry, we need you too. So absolutely, we need to have you back when your book drops a couple months later. Give us a yell and we'll get you back on. So
fantastic, man. And I'll make sure I send a copy your way. I'll say, yeah, just hit me up with whatever address I could send something to now. Both of you.
That'd be great. Okay. All right,
awesome,
Jen.
Thank you.
We got to cut it here. Otherwise,
yeah, I hear you.
Sound engineer's going to be mad.
That's right.
You want me to go ahead and tap out?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Good night, folks.
Thanks, David.
Good night.
All right, Bye-bye. Jen. It's just you and I.
Yes. So
we'll close out here. Hey, what do you have for the week?
Getting ready for Christmas. That's Excellent. About it. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. In fact, I hope I have nothing else to do, because I have way too much to do just because of Christmas. So.
Yeah. That's always how it is, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, you and I will talk again later. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Misbehaving. Good night.
Bye.